Lord, we thank you that you are with us each and every day. On this day, we join with those all around the world who are worshiping you this morning, who confess you as Lord. You are an amazing God. Quiet our minds, open our hearts, Lord. We adore you and we thank you for this time to be able to worship you. Amen. So last week we were, or 2 weeks ago, excuse me, we were talking about the qualities of the disciples, and we set up that chart, I guess it was last week, from home, setting up that chart, and my family had this discussion, you know, why would God chose those men to be disciples? And as interesting and as it was to pull all of those ideas together and for us to maybe even chart ourselves, would we have been chosen as a disciple? There is no evidence of them possessing extraordinary talents. None. Which is good to hear, because none of us have extraordinary talents or even exceptional faith. The disciples had disagreements. And we have disagreements. The disciples argued about what directions to go in. Sometimes we have that discussion. They actually had a discussion to find out who God loved more. Which disciple was more like Jesus? Who did he love the most? You see, the only extraordinary characteristic that they shared was their willingness to follow Jesus. After Jesus' ascension to heaven, they were filled with the Holy Spirit. Being a good disciple is having a most willing heart to follow Jesus. Not a perfect heart. A most willing heart to follow Jesus. Do not ever think that you cannot be like the disciples just because we don't have the correct credentials. A most willing heart is what is needed to be a disciple of Jesus. It is your willing heart that makes you that disciple. I'm reading from Luke 6, 17 to 19. When they came down from the mountain, the disciples stood with Jesus on a large level area that was surrounded by many followers in a huge crowd. There were many people from all over Judea and from Jerusalem and from as far north as the seacoast of Tyre and Sidon. They had come to hear him and to be healed of their diseases, and those troubled by evil spirits were healed. Everyone tried to touch him because healing power went out from him, and he healed everyone. Jesus has been on the mountain spending time in prayer and then choosing his 12 apostles. Within Luke, Jesus is mentioned and pictured in prayer more times than in any other gospel. Jesus and his apostles came down from the mountain and they stood on a plain, on a flat surface, to bless and to serve the crowd. Jesus could have blessed the crowd on his own, but the disciples worked with Jesus to serve those who were there. Thousands were healed at that time. In Matthew 5, 6, and 7, we read about the Sermon on the Mount, which is similar to this sermon from this morning. But there are enough differences in this sermon to lead scholars to wonder if it's a different sermon, leaving out parts which would have been directly applicable for the Jewish people, but including parts which would have been for the Gentiles or for those who were following the Islamic faith. Filled with a beautiful, important message, this sermon changed that crowd. The listeners felt the power that went out from Jesus along with the power of healing. Returning to Luke, chapter 6, verses 20 to 23. Then Jesus turned to his disciples and said, God blesses you who are poor, for the kingdom of God is yours. God blesses you who are hungry now, for you will be satisfied. God blesses you who weep now, for in due time you will laugh. What blessings await you when people hate you and exclude you and mock you and curse you as evil because you follow the Son of Man? When that happens, be happy. Yes, leap for joy, for a great reward awaits you in heaven. And remember, their ancestors treat the ancient prophets the same way. Depending on what Bible you're using, the Beatitudes may begin with, God blesses you who are poor, or blessed are those who are poor, or blessed are you, blessed are they. Another way to read that would be, oh, how fortunate. Can you imagine? Oh, how fortunate for you to be poor. Oh, how fortunate for you to be hungry, for you to weep. Or, oh, how blessed. Or, oh, how happy. How happy to be poor, hungry, sad, disliked. But you are following Jesus. Jesus prayed for all those who would listen, for a sense of joy as they walked with him. He was healing them, and he was teaching them and preparing them for the future. Luke 26 to 24. What sorrows await you who are rich, for you have your only happiness now. What sorrow awaits you who are fat and prosperous now, for a time of awful hunger awaits you. What sorrows await you who laugh now, for your laughing will turn to mourning and sorrow. What sorrow awaits you who are praised by the crowds, for their ancestors also praised false prophets. Those who follow Jesus would be persecuted, harassed, punished, probably have their jobs taken from them, and know the feeling of hunger. Doesn't sound wonderful, but it is what was going on at the times. And becoming that new person in faith and deciding to walk with Jesus allowed the person in faith to begin to build their house on the rock, to begin to stand firm in their faith, to wash their hearts in the blood of Christ, was to truly make a stand for Jesus. Becoming a brother and a sister in the Lord would then in turn mean caring for others, caring for those who were poor, who did cry, who lost their jobs. Caring for the poor and helping with civil rights issues appropriately, even back then, as it is today, an important job. Our joy, our leaping for joy, will be for what is coming after this life. It is a gift to take our blessings and to turn and to help others. This sermon and the Sermon on the Mount had a significant impact on the followers of Jesus. The early church would continue to grow as the disciples were sent to preach in the towns of Galilee. And the message now was very clear to the believers. Theologian Pate wrote, "It may be surmised that the sermon served a twofold function, to encourage faithfulness among Jesus' disciples, and to challenge non-disciples to follow him." They could feel his love. They could feel his healing. The followers and the would-be followers of Jesus were being taught how they should live. The plan was very ethical and loving. They were encouraged to rejoice always, as their great reward would be waiting in heaven. God is watching now. If we turn to Jeremiah 17, verses 5 through 10, we read about God seeing all of our ways. He knows us. So Jeremiah 17, starting at verse 5. This is what the Lord says. Cursed are those who put their trust in mere humans, who rely on human strength and turn their heart away from the Lord. They are like stunted shrubs in the desert, with no hope for the future. They will live in the barren wilderness, in the uninhabited salty land. But blessed are those who trust in the Lord and have made the Lord their hope and confidence. They are like trees planted along a riverbank with roots that reach deep into the water. Such trees are not bothered by the heat or worried by long months of drought. Their leaves stay green and they never stop producing fruit. The human heart is the most deceitful of all things and desperately wicked. Who really knows how bad it is? But I, the Lord, search all hearts and examine secret motives. I give all people their due rewards according to what their actions deserve. Trust God. Know that He is watching. Not a man or a woman or a certain age group will not be seen by our Lord. Our Lord blesses you and gives you the ability to hope. Our protection comes from the Lord. Deceitful hearts are changed into new hearts, hearts with a new nature, hearts that can become generous hearts. Imagine if all those getting paid the highest salaries gave half of their salaries to those who are in need. Imagine if we went into our closets, ladies maybe, and took half those shoes and just gave half those shoes to the people who don't have shoes. I think that's what Jesus was asking us to do. No matter how we feel, go to Jesus. Know that He loves you. Know that He will cover your needs. Take the time to care for others so that they will see Jesus in you. What God says will be. Keep trusting God. Pastor Dr. Vernon McGee said, God is the true heart specialist. God knows our innermost being. He knows our hearts. And we know that trouble will come, but we are to stand like the tree that is next to the river with those long roots, trusting in the Lord with confidence. Delight in knowing the way of the Lord. This sermon on the plain and the Sermon on the Mount would be repeated over and over using different words and written by different people throughout the Bible. It is a very good and consistent message. Believers will be faced with hatred from others, will face scary times, we'll face times where we will feel hungry and poor, we will worry about finances, but with that strong foundation, with that strong foundation, we are able to continue to live a life that is glorifying to Jesus. At that time in the culture during when this was being written by Luke, men and women truly knew what it meant to be hungry and thirsty. Those who felt that way focused solely on satisfying their needs. It was a survival mode that they would go into. And experiencing these woes, perhaps, and I believe, drew them closer to Jesus, drew them closer to being with those that believed in Jesus, that would reach out, others that would reach out to help the poor and the needy. Jesus shared that those who focused on Him would have their needs met. He shared of more than a hunger or a thirst or poverty and weeping. He was sharing about a longing for holiness, a longing for righteousness. Those who weep recognize the sin in them and the sin in those around them. Jesus rejected the things that the world was admiring. He rejected the things that the world was admiring. He was organizing a community. Those who were oppressed would be filled and they would not be hungry. And one day they would laugh and they would not weep. And they would receive a home in the kingdom of God. Jesus promised blessings to his disciples. The poor in spirit will be blessed. In the ancient Greek language, blessed is happy, meaning comfortable. Jesus shares a way forward in hope. Without hope, a self-hatred seeps into your mind. The Holy Spirit continues to lead you and to respond you to the love of Jesus. The more you love Jesus and turn to him and rely on him, the more your spiritual assets will be recognized. The longing to desire Jesus and his righteousness in our hearts allows us to receive from God what our true needs are. A change in us as believers helps for the community of faith to grow. And from our community, the world. The world needs to change. Trust that Jesus knows you and he is willing and ready and able to provide for all of your needs. Let's pray. Thank you for your unexpected blessings each day, Lord. Help us to follow your leading. We know if we do what the word says to do, blessings will continue to find us wherever we are in our walk with you. May we take time to notice all of the blessings around us. Give us the opportunity to use our gifts and our blessings to help others and to support others and to shine with your light. We pray that you are with those that are not able to be with us today. We pray for good health. We pray that we are able to avoid the virus of COVID. We pray that you will be with Matt's father, Bob, Ellen, and those that we love. Your love is mighty. Your word is precious. Bless us, dear Lord. Amen.